Greetings, brethren. Welcome to Sabbath services. We live in a world that is being deceived by Satan the devil, and more of evil and darkness is coming upon this world. Now, back in Isaiah 60 and verse 2, it talks about the condition of the world just before Jesus Christ returns. Isaiah 60 and verse 2. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. Now, in Revelation 13, it says, the whole world is going to worship Satan the devil. Is that not gross darkness covering the people? But the Lord shall arise upon you, and his glory shall be seen upon you. And then it talks about what our work will be in helping the world. Verse 3, and the Gentiles shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes all around and see all of them gather themselves together. They come to you, you sons, your sons shall come from far, and your daughters shall be nursed by your side. Well, that's quite a thing we have to look forward to, isn't it? To be in the kingdom of God, see the glory of God coming, and that's going to be a spectacular thing indeed. It is. Yes, indeed. But let's see about the glory of God. It's going to be fantastic indeed. Let's come to Psalm 76, and let's see, because there are times when God allowed some of his glory to be seen, as he did with Moses. Verse 4, Psalm 76, you are resplendent with light, more majestic than the mountains of prey. Now that's something. More majestic, beautiful, fantastic, amazing what God is doing. Amazing what God is to live forever. Let's come to Psalm 104 and let's see what else it tells us here. Let's begin in verse 1. Okay? Verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O Lord my God. You are very great. You are clothed with honor and majesty. Now, what does it mean to be clothed with majesty? What kind of light and apparel does God have for that? Covering yourself with light as with a garment, and stretching out the heavens like a curtain. What a fantastic thing that is. Okay? Now come here to verse 31. May the glory of the Lord endure forever, and the Lord shall rejoice in his works. And of course, the greatest works are going to occur after the plan of God has been completed with human beings. Now that's going to be amazing to contemplate, isn't it? Okay. Now, let's see some other things concerning light, how that relates to us, what we need to do, what it is that God does for us, how we come to God, and so forth. Let's come to Psalm 27. Psalm 27. Now, we're going to learn also how God works with us, and how it's interesting how that light in us needs to be light indeed. Now, notice what this is, living in a dark world. Verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Now, that's true for all of us. We don't need to fear anything. Even regardless of the circumstances as they come, difficult or hard to deal with, God is there to help us. God is there to encourage us. God is there to comfort us. God is there to fight for us. The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Now that's really something to think of. how the light or the Spirit of God is the strength of our lives, physical, though spiritually being prepared for the kingdom of God. That's an amazing thing. All right, Psalm 37. Let's see. These psalms, when you look at what David wrote and all the psalms that he wrote, he had some really tremendous insight and vision into God. Now, Psalm 37. Living in this world, it is very easy to get bogged down. So here's what we need to always continually do. That's why we need prayer every day, study every day, Sabbath every week, holy days every year. These keep us in the understanding and knowledge and teaching of God so that we can grow in that light so that at the resurrection we will receive full glory. All right? Verse 1, fret not yourselves because of evildoers. Do not be envious of the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. That's the important thing to always keep in mind. Always trust in God, regardless of the circumstances around. Dwell in the land and cherish faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord. Now, rather than get angry and mad at the Lord because problems are there and difficulties are there, delight yourself in the Lord that He's going to deliver you. And He shall give you the desires of your heart. Now, what are the desires of your heart? Are they to be in the kingdom of God? To be a son and daughter of God? Well, then we need the light of God in our lives so that we can have that to live by and walk by and do things in this world that's covered with gross darkness. And here's how you do it. Commit your ways to the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. And He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light. Now that will be at the resurrection. And your judgment like the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret yourself because of him who prospers in his way, because of him who carries out wicked schemes. Now let's come to another psalm that also talks about the glory and majesty and power of God. And of course, this will be during the millennium. And that's going to be something, isn't it? Think about what it's going to be over Jerusalem on the earth, as we have there in Isaiah the 4th chapter. There will be the light by night and the pillar of cloud by day over the huge tabernacle of God. No temple like it was with the children of Israel. Now, Psalm 97, verse 1. The Lord reigns. Now, let's stop and ask for a minute. Does Christ rule in your heart? That's how we are to have self-control and yield to God. Does He reign in your life? Well, let you answer that. Let the earth rejoice and the multitude of islands be glad. Clouds and darkness are all around Him. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of His throne. Fire goes before Him and burns up His enemies round about. Now think what that's going to be when Christ returns and we're coming down off the sea of glass and fighting that battle, the last battle of Armageddon. That's exactly what's going to happen. Now then, this also has to do with the lake of fire for the evil ones. Verse 4, His lightnings light up the world. The earth saw and trembled. The mountains melted like wax at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the Lord of the whole earth. Now that's what happened when God came down on Mount Sinai, and Moses was allowed to see a small portion of His glory. The heavens declare His righteousness, and all His all the people are his glory. So that's quite a wonderful thing, brethren, for us to understand. Now then, we're going to see in a little bit how the light of God, what it is for us, and how it works with us and in our lives. Now, right here in Psalm 97, we have another preview of it, how it works. Notice verse 10. You who love the Lord, hate evil. He preserves the soul of his saints. He delivers them out of the hand of the wicked. Light is sown for righteousness. Now, we're going to see light includes quite a few things, but it all comes from God and from his Holy Spirit. And gladness for the upright in heart. Rejoice in the Lord, you righteous ones. Praise his holy name. All right? Now let's see what else God has for us and how this works out in our life. Now let's focus in on the Word of God as light and enlightening our eyes, teaching us the way of God. Now let's come to Psalm 119. Now that would be a very good psalm for you to study really in depth, because there's so much in here, and I truly believe that this is also a prophetic, insight into how Christ loved the laws of God, commandments of God, truth of God, testimonies, precepts, statutes, and judgments of God, all here. And all of them are light and truth. Psalm 119, verse 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path, to show us the way we need to go. How can we know anything about life except just by sheer chance of understanding a few things without the Word of God? Okay? Now, let's see what the Word of God does for us. Let's come here to Psalm 19. From just deduct 100, come to Psalm 19. Now, this is quite a psalm. Okay? Let's pick it up here. Let's just start in verse 1, because this tells us an awful lot about God and his glory and what he's doing and the magnificence of what God has for us. And then how God is working with us, with his Spirit, with his truth, with his word, all combined together so we can grow in grace and knowledge. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament proclaims his handiwork. And think about that. Every time you see some great, wonderful picture of the universe, what an awesome thing indeed. And there are literally trillions of stars. Now that ought to tell you that God's plan is going to be awesome once all of the things concerning human beings and the whole plan of God carried out on the earth for us to enter into his kingdom and be his sons and daughters, the whole universe. What will that be like? Okay? Day after day pour forth speech, and night after night they reveal knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. And it's literally true. There are sounds coming from the outer universe that are indeed quite amazing. Their line has gone through all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. In them he has set a tabernacle for the sun, so that every day, every night, we have a demonstration of God's creation. And also, when you look at it, it shows us how much he loves mankind to send Jesus Christ to be the sacrifice for the sin of the world. An amazing thing indeed. The sun, which is a bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoices as a strong man to run his race, its going forth is from one end of heaven to the other end, and there is nothing hidden from its heat. Now that's something to understand. Now notice this. Here we go. We saw the law is a lamp and a light to my feet. The law of the Lord is perfect. Now all of those in Protestant land, if you think the law has been done away, let me ask you a question. If you had something perfect, let's say the most perfect sapphire in the world, would you throw it away for a rock? Of course not. However, isn't that what you do when you say the law has been abolished, or the law has been done away, or the law is old and hateful? Think of that. Okay? The law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments of the Lord are pure. Now think about it for a minute. Why would you want to get rid of any of these? You wouldn't. Now notice, all of these combined together, enlightening the eyes. In other words, giving us clear understanding of God and His way. Okay? Now notice how great that these things are. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired than gold. Yea, much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb. Now notice, moreover, by them your servant is warned, and keep them, there is great reward. So, that's how we learn. That's how we're taught. See? The Word of God does that for us. Okay? Now, let's come to the Gospel of John. We're going to see some very interesting things in the Gospel of John. Now, John is quite an excellent presentation by John, bringing out all the spiritual things that Jesus did, and so that we understand about Him more than any of the other Gospels. Right? Now let's see how it starts out, and let's see how important that this is, and let's see how this helps us understand about the nature of God. Is there one? Are there two? Are there three? Well, right here tells us very clearly two. That is substantiated by the Most High and the Lord God of the Old Testament and Jesus Christ and God the Father of the New Testament. Same personages, but different names. In the beginning was the Word. That's Christ. And His Word is what? Is a lamp and a light. And the Word was with God. Now notice, and the Word was God. Now can anything be more clear than that? No. Let's see what else it tells us here. He was in the beginning with God, and all things came into being through Him. And not even one thing that was created came into being without Him. Now also, let's understand something else. Men have never been able to produce life. All life comes from God, because He's the creator and author of life. Not even one thing came into being without Him. No evolution, no, how should we say, great thoughts of things that can't think to produce something that has life from which no life comes. Verse 4, in Him was life, Christ, and the life was the light of the world. All truth, all light, all knowledge, all understanding comes through Christ. But here's what happens in the world. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not comprehend it. Now, since gross darkness is covering the earth, isn't it clear that very few people really understand anything about God. Now, that's why there has to be a calling. People just don't come to God because they want to come to God. Because most people who do that want to come to God on their terms. But God wants you to come to Him on His terms. And what are those terms? Repent and be baptized. Then you'll receive the Holy Spirit. Then your mind will be enlightened. Then you will begin to understand. But no one comes to God on their terms. It just doesn't work. It won't happen. Okay? Let's continue on with this and let's see. Okay? Verse 9. The true light was that which enlightens. Didn't we read that back in Psalm 19? Which enlightens everyone who comes into the world. So that means the light and the life of Christ, since He's the Creator, everyone that comes into the world and has the Spirit of man in them, which comes right at conception, that gives them human qualities, and they are individual persons, male and female. All of this other gender stuff in the world is nonsense, and that's part of the gross darkness which is covering this world. Now notice what happens, okay? He was in the world, and the world came into being through Him, but the world did not know Him. Now isn't that something? They don't know Him. Yet people, if you ask them why you're born, where you're going, they don't know. They have no understanding of any of that. He came to His own, to the Jews, and His own did not receive Him. They crucified Him. But as many, all right, think about this, as many as receive Him. Now, what does it mean to receive Him? That means to receive the Holy Spirit of God because you've repented, been baptized, and have received the Holy Spirit. You are receiving Jesus Christ. To them, He gave authority to become the children of God. And later in John, it talks about that the Father and the Son, both through the power of the Holy Spirit, dwell within us. Even those who believe in His name. Now, to believe in His name means everything about Him, everything that He stands for, everything that He has done, and who He is as the Lord God of the Old Testament and the Savior of the New Testament. Now then, it tells about what He did and why He did it. And all of this comes to give us understanding of the Word of God. The Word became flesh and tabernacled among us, and we ourselves beheld His glory as of the only begotten with the Father, full of grace and truth. Now within light, then, is grace and truth and righteousness and goodness, if we could put it that way. Come down here, verse 15. John testified concerning Him and proclaimed, saying, "This is He of whom I said, He who comes after me has precedence over me because He was before me." That means He existed before John. Now that's hard for a lot of people to understand, but you have to go through and understand it. That's for another sermon. Okay? Now notice, of His fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace. Now if you don't have the message that we have on grace upon grace, but also grace of God in the Bible, grace of God and commandment keeping. Now that's something you need to understand, because grace and commandment keeping go hand in glove. Okay? And grace upon grace. What does that mean? Well, you write for the three series that we have on grace of God in the Bible, grace of God and commandment keeping, and grace upon grace. Now let's continue on with the light. Now let's come to John the third chapter. Now, this tells us an awful lot. Also, we will see a little later that Jesus himself declared that he is the light of the world. Now, just put two and two together. Since gross darkness covers the world, who is the only one who has the light to take it away? Jesus Christ. All right, now let's pick it up here in verse 15. Because we're going to see something very important, how the light of Christ, remember, he enlightens everyone who comes into the world through giving them the spirit of man. And that's what every man and woman has, okay, from conception. Then, upon repentance and baptism, you receive the Holy Spirit, and now God begins to deal with you in an entirely different way. That's part of grace upon grace. Verse 15. So everyone who believes in him may not perish. Now this is conditional. May not perish. And perish doesn't mean just to die. Perish means to no longer exist. But may have everlasting life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have everlasting life. In the Greek, this is subjunctive, and it means there are conditions. What are the conditions? Well, we've already covered repent and be baptized, right? What are the conditions after that? You love God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and being. You keep his commandments. You do the things that are pleasing in his sight. You obey him in everything. Those are the conditions. And you don't bring in the works of men. We'll see that here in just a minute. Okay? Now, verse 17. For God sent not his Son into the world to judge the world. Well, we'll find out that there is judgment, and that judgment comes after his resurrection. But that the world might be saved through him. Now then he explains something very interesting and very good for us to know and understand and realize. Let's see it, verse 18. The one who believes in him. Now that's interesting. That means the one who is believing in him on a continuous basis. Do you do that? Okay. Is not judged. Now why? Because if you're believing in him on a continuous basis, that he is the sacrifice for the sin of mankind, which came to us through the law of sin and death because of Adam and Eve, then what are we doing? We are praying every day. We're repenting every day. We're yielding to God. We're doing the things that God wants us to do so we don't come under judgment to condemnation. Now, that's quite a tremendous thing to understand, and that's part of grace upon grace. Now, let's continue. Believing on him is not judged, but the one who does not believe has already been judged. How? Because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now, let's understand something. Everyone in the world is under judgment to God through his laws and through his commandments. And judgment is also today upon the house of God. And if we yield to God, then that judgment is unto life, while for the world their judgment is unto death. Now notice verse 19. And this is the judgment. Here it is. Happens automatically. That the light has come into the world, but men loved darkness rather than the light because their deeds were evil. They don't want to repent. They want to do their way. Now you see, this is something very important to understand. No man, no woman, no church, no corporation can tell God what to do. Because if God obeyed a man, that man would be de facto God. Now, do you understand that? Okay. They weren't willing to repent. So you have to come to the light of Christ. Now come over here to chapter 4 for just a minute. John 4. And let's pick it up here. Yes. Let's pick it up here in verse 22. He's talking to the woman at the well. You do not know what you worship. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. That's where it started. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father is indeed seeking those who worship him in this manner. So it works two ways. If you're seeking to worship God in this manner, God will recognize that. Now, whether you answer the call or not is another story. Okay? If you're seeking God that way, God is seeking you. There it is right there. Okay? God is spirit, and those who worship him must. Now that means it's absolutely obligatory to worship him in spirit and in truth. And that is in the light of God through Christ. Okay? Back to chapter 3. Now verse 20. Okay. Verse 20. And everyone who practices evil hates the light. Now look at it in the world. Isn't that true? Aren't there more persecution against even nominal Christians who profess Christ? They're being persecuted and killed more than any other religious, how should we say, movement. Okay? Now notice what happens if you hate the light. If you hate the Word of God, you won't even open it to read it. See? And does not come to the light, will not come to Christ, will not come to the Word of God, will not look at it that way, so that his works may not be exposed. He doesn't want his evil exposed as evil. He wants to keep it that way. See? Now notice this. Here's a very important thing. But the one who practices the truth comes to the light, so that his works may be manifested, that they have been accomplished by the power of God. Now think of that for just a minute. Okay? You heard a lot of people say, oh, you just must have faith and belief. There are no works required. What does this mean? Say. Let's read it again. The one who believes, the one who practices the truth. What is truth? The Word of God is truth. His commandments are truth. His statutes are true. His precepts are true from the beginning. And God is true, and it's impossible for him to lie. But the one who practices the truth, that's what true Christians do, comes to the light. Daily, all the time, every Sabbath, every holy day. So that his works, it doesn't say his faith and belief, his works may be manifested that they have been accomplished by the power of God. Now hold your place here and come to Ephesians, the second chapter. Let's see. We've covered this many times. But let's look at it again. Because it's very important for us to realize and to know. Okay? Ephesians 2. All right? Here's where the problem comes in trying to understand it. But let's see if we can figure it out here. Ephesians 2. Okay? Verse 8. For by grace you have been saved through faith. You are to believe. You have to have grace. But what is it? You are coming to God. And this especially is not of your own self, not of your own works. Now, always remember, your own works that you do contrary to the laws and commandments of God, even though it looks on the surface that they are good, don't count. It is the gift of God, not of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created, that is, being created in Christ Jesus, unto the good work that God ordained beforehand, in order that we might walk in them. Now then, whenever you're doing what God commands, that is not your own work. That is the work of God, which he gave you to do. And he will bless you and prosper you in that. Now back to John 3. Okay? Verse 21 again. But the one who practices the truth comes to the light, that his works may be manifested, that they have been accomplished by the power of God through his Spirit. See? And that produces the good works that God wants. Okay? So it is true. Now you've seen people have been in a church and they leave. And what happens? They quit coming to the light. And so what happens in them? Their light goes out. Let's come to Matthew 6 and see a very important verse here. Matthew the 6th chapter. About what happens and how darkness takes over. Matthew 6. Let's pick it up here. Verse 22. The light of the body is the eye. And there are a lot of things they can tell by the eyes concerning the condition of the body, concerning the health of the body, and also concerning the mental attitude of the person. All there in the eyes. Therefore, if your eye be sound, now how will your eye be sound? Because you're following God. You're coming to God. You're studying his word, which is a light to you, showing what you need to do, where you need to go. If your eye be sound, your body shall be full of light. But notice this. But if your eye be evil, your whole body shall be full of darkness. Not only darkness out there in the world, but in your whole life. Have you seen people that way? Yes, indeed, I've seen them. Therefore, if the light that is in you be darkness, and who is the author of darkness? Satan the devil. If you are following Satan's way, you are in darkness, and your mind is in darkness. How great is that darkness? And he says, no one can serve two masters. Well, that's true. But think of it this way. Who is the god of this world? Okay? Satan the devil. You can't serve him and serve God. It's an impossibility. All right? Let's come. Let's continue here now. Now let's go ahead and take a little break, and we'll go to the second part in just a bit.